quick question. Has anyone read this chapter on their own time?
Yeah.
Okay, those are my favorites. no.
I just got that.
That's all right. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. Pray for those who can't be here, and just thank you for giving us a chance to worship you and just be in your presence, Lord, and to learn and glean off your word. Just pray for the services upstairs, Lord. Pray that you anoint me. Pray that you anoint the preachers, Lord, and the song leaders and all the ministers and deacons, Lord. And just be with us in everything we do, Lord. Thank you for all things. You lead us and guide us in the presence of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, I guess I'll just pick up where we left off on verse 4. In verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Am I at the right place? Okay. So like we talked about last time, inquire means to ask information from someone, to investigate and to look into. Now, like I was saying, when something's preached and when you have a question or question it or wonder, you know, do you look into that? And do you really try to figure that out and find it out, or try to, you know, seek guidance or go into the word and look for the answer? And look, Hebrews 11:6, blessed are those who, you know, diligently seek. So if you seek the word and investigate, you will find the answer. And even if it's something, you know, you don't understand, you pray about it, you know, you go to the Lord, you go in the word, and you believe that he will answer it in his time. In verse 5, it says, For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, verse 5 actually reveals what was said in verse 3 of the chapter. Verse 3 says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident." Now, why would David be so confident when there's war rising against him and there's conflict in his life? You know, there's spirits of maybe depression, anger, lust, you know, tempting him. And he's confident because he knows God is with him. And today, you know, if you have war and conflict in your life, you can go to Psalms 27, verse 5, and say, "In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." And that's something to know when you're going through things, to claim the promises. It says he will hide you in the pavilion and he will set you upon a rock. Like it says in verse 1, he's my light and my salvation. So he will save you. He will help you in those times and all the things you go through. So in verse 6, "And now shall my head be lifted up." And what does David mean when he says, "My head shall be lifted up"? I'm asking. What do y'all think that means? That's okay. Take your time. "My head shall be lifted up."
That his head should be lifted up?
No, that's a good answer, but that's not what I'm looking for.
That, like, he's going to become higher than everyone else, like, in his ranking?
Not quite. Okay. Well, let's.
Oh, they're gonna chop his head off.
No, not quite.
Oh no.
All right. Okay. So the verse says, "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So David says, "My head shall be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." Now, who are David's enemies? That's also a question you can answer. Who do you guys think David's enemies are?
The devil.
Hmm?
The devil.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
King Saul.
That's an interesting answer. Any other answers? Who are David's enemies? He says, his head shall be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. These enemies are surrounding David. So who are these enemies?
People. Well, duh, like,
try to think of an actual answer.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Who are our enemies?
Ourselves.
Interesting answer. Mercy, you have an answer? You know who our enemies are?
People who try to put us down.
Well, let's keep going. One thing I want to make clear is that people are not our enemies. Worldly people are not our enemies, and people are not our enemies. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Because we have the same enemies David does. All right, let me know when you're all at Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6. Okay. Now, one thing I will say is that, not that this is like a doctrine or anything, but I think it shows if you're reading your Bible, if you know, you know, where certain books are and how easy it is for you to find. Not that, you know, you have to be as efficient as possible, but, and there's no shame in, you know, there's plenty of books where I have to go to the front too and look, but, you know, just something to think about. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, let's go to verse 10. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, looking at that verse, who are our enemies? Yes. Who it says who do we wrestle against?
The devil. The world. The rulers of the world.
That's what it says, yes. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So people are not our enemies.
So principalities?
Yes. Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our enemies are spiritual. Our enemies are, you know, those wrong spirits, you know, and like, you know, Zoe said before, ourselves. And sometimes we can, you know, let those wrong spirits come into our life, and those different principalities and the wickedness of the darkness of this world, as it says in the scripture, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it is spiritual wickedness. It's not people. It's not, you know, we commonly say, we love the sinner but hate the sin. Because the person isn't our enemy. It's you know, those spirits and the wrong things that they're doing and the influence they're under. The spiritual influence that they're under is our enemy. But the people are not our enemies. You know, we're called to love people, love our neighbors, and love enemies. Love our enemies. Love those who despitefully use us. And, you know, that's not And we shouldn't be looking to people and saying those are our enemies. But nobody on this earth is your enemy. You know, if that's an idea, you know, it's good not to change that, because it's not people. It's not just because you don't get along with someone, or because maybe you think someone's annoying. You know, that doesn't mean they're your enemy. And it's not what we're called to as Christians, and it conflicts with what the Bible says. So we know that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but they are in the spirit realm. So my next question is, how do we overcome our enemies?
We read the Bible and pray.
That's a good answer. Remember, whenever you have a question, the Bible has the answer. So, looking at, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, verses 10 to 12. How do we overcome?
Put on the armor of God.
Exactly.
Oh, was that actually the answer?
Of course, yes.
Oh.
why are you surprised?
No, like the exact answer you're thinking of.
Well, it's in the Bible, so yeah, that's the answer. Even if it wasn't the answer I'm thinking of, it's in the Bible. That's the right answer. Right. So, yes, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that's how we overcome. So let's go back to Psalms 27, verse 4. Let's just go back to Psalms 27 and see if there's any more answers that we can find there. Let's just look through verses, Psalms 27, verses 1 to 6, and see if you guys can find any more answers of how we can overcome. Let me know if you find it or find any answers. It's verses 1 through 6 for right now. Don't be shy. Okay. See something, say something. How do we overcome?
It says the Lord is my light and salvation, whom shall I fear?
Yes. The Lord is our salvation, that's right. Any more? Kaylee, do you see one?
Thou hast should encamp against him, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
Yes, should be confident, for sure. Mercy.
For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion.
All right. He'll keep us, yep. Abby?
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Yep.
Okay.
That's true. Definitely. Those are all different ways, you know, those are all scriptures that are telling us how we can overcome and different ways we can overcome. And you'll find that, you know, in your life, if you have trouble, if you have a problem, it's good to go to the Word and go to the Scriptures and look for an answer and see, you know, what is promised to me. How do I overcome? If I'm going through this, I'm going through that. What does the Bible say about that? If you have a question, you can always go to the Word and God will give you an answer. And one answer that, you know, I want to stress to you guys is in Psalms 27 verse 4, which is the verse that I started on. Is one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Now I want to stress the importance of seeking God through his provided word, and seeking an understanding of his word, and why that's so important. And so let's go to Proverbs 2, verse 3. Everyone have it? Proverbs is right after Psalms. You got it? All right. Proverbs 2 verse 3 says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So it's if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding. Now, there's plenty of things that we ask God for in our, you know, when we pray, and you know, there's prayer requests. And there's, you know, many things we have to pray for. You know, there's always something going on, you know, like school maybe, or a conflict with maybe a person or a friend, or maybe there's a family conflict. But one thing that we should be continually asking God for is knowledge and understanding of his word. And it says, if thou seekest her as silver. When it says her, it's referring to the knowledge and the understanding that was spoken about before. If thou seekest her as silver, as silver. Now, silver is a very precious metal. It's been known for a long time and used it for a long time. So, you know, the way you go to work and the way you, I don't know how many everyone has it here as a job yet, but the way you, you know, the things you desire, the things that you are precious to you, the things that, you know, like money and, or maybe gifts or maybe food, or the things you desire, things that are precious to you, like silver, something that is very valuable and has been valuable for thousands of years, and humans have used it for money and for different things for many years. If thou seekest her as silver, as something precious to you, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So that's how you come to an understanding, is you seek understanding and knowledge as something that's precious, as a hid treasure, as a treasure that you're trying to find, that you can't quite see, but you know you want more. And that's how we should, you know, seek God. And now let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. Now she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now once again, when it says her, it's referring to the knowledge and the wisdom that was spoken about earlier. And the next verse speaks of how powerful understanding is, an understanding of the word. It says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. So the very foundation we're standing upon, the foundation of the word and the foundation of the earth and the heavens, and God being able to speak things into existence, He does that by knowledge and understanding. Here in Proverbs 3:18, it tells us that. By understanding hath he established the heavens. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. So there's power in understanding. And the Bible is telling us that there is power in having understanding of God's word, you know. And to really, that's why we should seek that, because that's where the power is. You know, and spiritual gifts are great, you know, but there's no power in it if that person is just going through the motions and doesn't truly understand God's word. You know, and then here's a quote from Brother Branham preached where he preached where I think Pentecost failed. And in paragraph 50 of that, he says, "But I've noticed people who had the gift of speaking in tongues speak out of order. When the preacher was preaching, somebody would stand up and speak in tongues. That's out of order. Spirits of prophet is subject to the prophets." So someone may have a spiritual gift, but if they don't have an understanding of the word, then they could misuse it, and then they end up out of order, regardless of the fact of how great their spiritual gift may be. But if you have an understanding of the word, then you can truly serve him and use your gifts and your life for his glory. So that's why we need understanding. We need to understand, you know, when the brothers preach on things like adoption and preach on getting the new birth and salvation, and you know, we need to seek to understand those things. Or when deep things are taught and we don't completely understand it, we need to look in the Bible and study on it and ask questions. And oh, he preached this, so let me write that verse down, so I'll go look at it later and, you know, try and figure out what he's talking about, even if I don't understand it right now. If there's something deep being taught that maybe you don't understand, you know, like I said, ask the ministers, ask the brothers, seek the Lord on it, look in the word for it, and those things are, seek them as if they're precious to you, and they should be precious to us. Understanding of this word and knowledge, you know, of what God wants for us to do and will have us do and his purpose in our lives, you know, that's, we should be constantly seeking that. So maybe let's go back to Psalms 27 and ask, how do we obtain this understanding? And I believe the answer is in verse 4, where it tells us to inquire in his temple. And that should be your desire. The same way that, you know, in Proverbs 3, it said, seek it as silver, or seek it as hid treasures, things that are precious to you. David also says, one thing have I desired. And at the end it says, inquire in his temple. So if you get nothing else today, I just want you to know that it's important to seek the Lord in your own time, you know, when you're by yourself, if you have a problem in your life, if enemies are surrounding you, and we know who our enemies are now. So if enemies are surrounding you, or you have a question about something, you know, look into the tapes, look into your Bible, and pray for overcoming power. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.